Off the ball.
Rugby.
Checkers, rock and roll. And for better or worse, the sport likes its entertainment now, and Michael Checker does that very well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
The Final One Standing by William Hill on Off the Ball. Download the app and play today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
All right. Delighted to say Lee Phelps and the lads are here for this week's episode. Lee, how are you?
I'm really good, thank you. Suffering a little bit post-Cheltenham COVID or something, but, you know, Cowboys don't cry, do they? So I enjoyed my week. I'm just struggling this week.
It's a man flu. You can tell the truth. Quietly in the break there, Shane was like, oh, I had a great Cheltenham. I'm like, he's literally the only person I know who finished up.
We had a few people. There were a few people who backed bigger price each way selections, had really good weeks. We had some incredible ackers that were landed, but there just weren't many of them. Yeah, I think on the Wednesday, and like, I don't know if you've got violins under the desk for the punters there, but I think we had the best Cheltenham day we've ever had on the Wednesday. So wow. On day two, which is incredible. But yeah, what one for the bookies it was in the end.
Yeah. Shane had a 50-1.
Yeah.
Which he just picked up in the paper. I was like, oh, I like the sound of that.
Abelanda Cherny, 5 each way on the 50s. Nice. Yeah. And then Gaelic Warrior, of course, in the Gold Cup, had back it. So not a bad Friday. Yeah.
Nah, decent.
I got wiped out, which meant I ended up stupidly panicking, cashing in my Aston Villa not to finish in the top four bet before they lost to Man United. I was like, oh my God. Anyway, they're back now. They won last night and John McGinn is back and Tielemans is back and they're going to go on a rampage and they're going to finish third. Anyway, I won't regret that until the day I die. Where should we start this week? Our live game on Sunday is actually one of the most interesting games of the season.
Yeah, Spurs Forest 2:15. I mean, this is sort of game, I suppose, Lee, that could go very south very quickly for either team. But Spurs at home doesn't necessarily mean it's an advantage for them recently.
No, definitely not. I mean, I was looking at some of the stats around their season and the run that they're on. Longest winless stretch in league football since 1935. Haven't beat Burnley or West Ham, who are right down there. Won one Premier League game since the end of August. Drawn 4, lost 9. Collected the fewest points of any top flight side this term. 10 points. I mean, it's abject, isn't it? And there's been like a bit of a... Suddenly, there's since the Liverpool draw and the win in midweek, there's a slight change, isn't there? Like, oh, maybe you're starting to turn things around. I mean, Liverpool were pretty poor. And, I mean... They'd already lost that game. Atletico were like, they're just like, yeah, well, if you score, we'll just score one just to keep near you. They lost 7-4 in aggregate. I'm not sure you can take that as a moral victory for Igor Tudor, but we'll see. You know, I just think there's more fight in Forest, surely. Surely there's got to be more fight in them than there is in Tottenham. But, you know, they're going to have to do something soon, aren't they? Otherwise they are, you know, if West Ham, it's a big if West Ham won at Villa, and Tottenham, you know, failed to get a result at home to Forest, then serious. Yeah, it's getting really serious then. Forest are the interesting ones. They're like, we've kind of taken Burnley and Wolves out of the relegation betting now, but so you've got West Ham being favourites, then Tottenham, then Forest at 5-2. So Forest might be the value. Again, if Tottenham do win here and West Ham don't get beaten, then, you know, Forest might be the value to go down at this stage. But, you know, it's fascinating. I'm kind of, you know, because Arsenal have seemed to have almost got the title wrapped up in a weird way, I'm kind of enjoying the relegation battle more than I'm enjoying the top of the table at the moment.
Yeah, it feels that way. So how is this game priced up? What does the money think? Go on.
Tottenham are favourites, 5-4 favourites, which I've got no idea why. You know, I do work with the traders, but, you know, I just don't see anything about them that makes me think that they should be the favourites and that short a price. I couldn't back them with anyone's money at 5-4 at home. 9-4 the draw and Forrester just a touch over 2-1 at 21-10. So hard to cut. I mean, I'm going to go for a score draw double on these 2-2-15 games, Villa West Ham and Tottenham Forest. I think that comes out at 18-1 for both games to end in a score draw, basically.
There's actually been, was there one Sunday last week where it was 4 score draws?
Yeah.
Definitely recently, there was like one day it was like, oh, that's a draw. Or,
yeah.
There was another one, it was all 2-1 home wins. Like,
yeah. Yeah, yes. I think it was a few.
Yeah, that was a bad day for us. That was a really bad day for us.
Yeah, I know. I think it was last Sunday. There was like a couple of draws, and then the previous Sunday before that, there was like a load of home 2-1 wins.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's kind of just weird coincidence, but I don't know. I think it'd be interesting just to see who scores first in either game, in Aston Villa West Ham or in the Spurs Forest game, and does that put pressure on in the other stadium?
Yeah,
like,
are we at that phase now?
Are we at that phase?
We probably are.
Transistors in the crowd.
It's crazy, but like, you can get the small violin out again. But like, in fairness to Forest, they've been missing, and he's back soon, Chris Wood, who's obviously been their focal point for a long time. And then Spurs, the fact that they had two goalkeepers on the bench last couple of games would just pinpoint there. And I didn't recognise half of the three or four of their substitutions were just non-entities, young lads who've never really played senior football. So look, they're very unlucky, both of these sides this season, but I mean, you got to stay in the division somehow. And yeah, I think it could be a tense sort of a draw this game. But if Forest score early, Spurs are the ones more likely to capitulate, I feel.
I know everyone that's kind of gone, or all the teams that have gone to Spurs' home ground this season have kind of done well. But interestingly, Vitor Pereira was the coach of Wolves when Wolves were like awful and couldn't even get a point, or, you know, couldn't really do anything. But they actually went earlier in the season to the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium and got a point then, when they were like really, really terrible. So maybe Pereira knows how to get a result against the Spurs team, especially away from home. And you're kind of waiting for this kick that hasn't really come with Vitor Pereira and Forrest. Like, they still have so much talent. Like, they have maybe two of the best midfielders in the Premier League, in Morgan Gibbs-White and in Elliot Anderson. So it's kind of strange that they're down there. But yeah, like, the goal scoring hasn't been good. Igor Jesus has been kind of hit and miss. But I just think that Vitor Pereira could do a job on Spurs on Sunday. And like, okay, that's no great feat, obviously, where they are now. But
do a job as in win the game.
Win the game, yeah. Okay. Win the game.
It wouldn't be a huge surprise, would it? I mean, I think one of the interesting elements to this relegation battle is the goal difference. You know, West Ham on minus 19, Forest on minus 15, and Tottenham on minus 7. Leeds, incidentally, minus 11. Now, so Tottenham have obviously, it's like a point, obviously, isn't it? That to anyone who's got a better goal difference. I mean, what do they concede? 9 goals in 3 games in Igor Tudor's first 3 league games. So he's doing his best to undo that good work as well. But, you know, so that they have to be careful of that, I think. So, you know, that's one of the reasons why the prices are the way they are. But yeah, I think Tottenham need to keep it tight. If they aren't going to be winning games, they can't be getting beaten 2s and 3s.
Vitor Pereira didn't look that happy when the penalty shootout was won against Midtjylland. I know that, like, there's two complicated games against Porto that are to come, and right in the middle of a relegation battle in the Premier League. Villa, I think, is different, because even if Villa drop out of the top five, they don't want to, but they're probably the only English team left that can really target a trophy there in the Europa League. You cannot put all your eggs in that basket and hope to get Champions League football through the Europa League, but maybe that's going to be the way Unai Emery does it.
Maybe. I do think that the performance was way better than what we've seen from Villa just recently. And I think the first hour against United, when McGinn played, they were actually all right. When he went off, things fell apart. So this game against West Ham is actually low-key incredibly important in terms of them finishing in the top four or top five, which will have a knock-on impact on what happens with Arne Slot and potentially at Chelsea, whether or not it's very difficult to survive if you don't qualify for the Champions League when you were in the Champions League and you got absolutely annihilated and there's just noise around him. So,
and Ollie Watkins is absolutely brutal at the minute. I almost felt sorry for him at Old Trafford last weekend. He was just couldn't get involved whatsoever. Every touch he had was negative. But look, maybe he'll come good. I know he scored in European football recently, but he stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah, and he didn't start last night, so yeah. I think that might be the end of him starting for the foreseeable as well. Aston Villa favourites at home to beat West Ham.
Yeah, justifiable. I mean, not as short as you might imagine they could be, given it's Aston Villa versus West Ham. Even money, which, like, there's a few of these teams this weekend. There's Manchester United are odds against to win at Bournemouth. I know they're away from home. Liverpool odds against to win at Brighton. Chelsea odds against to win at Everton. And Aston Villa, even money to win at home to West Ham. Like, I know West Ham have improved, but they still haven't overtaken anyone. They're still in the bottom three. West Ham aren't big enough a price for me just on the 90 minutes to take on. 5-2 isn't big enough at Villa. I mean, I guess team news is everything here, isn't it? Because if Tielemans is playing and McGinn's playing, then that changes things. equally, if Crescencio Somerville plays for West Ham, that changes things as well. Intriguing game. I read a stat where Unai Emery has never lost four successive league games in his managerial career. They've lost three on the bounce at the minute, so he could well do without losing to West Ham. Or there's some history created in Emery's career there. But yeah, look, you on the face of it, you have to go with Villa, don't you? I mean, they would be going in a lot of ackers. You know, anyone who's looking at an acker boost on Sunday, they'll be looking to stick Villa in there without really thinking about it, I guess. But I'm not so sure. I must admit, like, that's why I've gone for the draw. I think, you know, I know they seem to have an easy night of it in Europe, but it's still exertion, isn't it? And it's still, they're not quite at it, Aston Villa. So, yeah, maybe West Ham can just hold them to a 1-1. They don't score that many goals in the league either, have they?
No.
You guys have just been saying. So,
yeah.
You know,
yeah. If you do Man United away, Liverpool away, and Chelsea away with the draw, it comes out at 32-1.
Tempting.
Will Man United win away? Sorry, you had to say something about
that? No, just interesting. Villa are unbeaten in the last six games against West Ham. Three wins, three draws. But they're looking for their first double over West Ham since the 2010-11 season. And that was the last time West Ham were relegated from the Premier League.
Ah, so there you go. A little bit of history repeating.
Yeah.
Will Manchester United, are they in a scenario now where they can go this evening and win against Andone Iraola, who you couldn't get out in the cards earlier on?
It's the type of get. Look, I was at the 4-4 game between these two at Old Trafford before Christmas, and I don't think it's going to be like that tonight. Michael Carrick's obviously tightened up the ship a little bit, but Bournemouth in really good form. That 10-game unbeaten run, and yet it's just hard to see United drop points. Like, even when they're playing poorly, they're picking up points. Newcastle game notwithstanding, they just look so hard to break down. And I don't know, performances all across the pitch have been really, really good. There's cause for optimism with Mason Mount back on the bench as well. They're getting a few more options in there. Acuna was like, Bruno Fernandes is just, he's running the show at the minute for them. He's at his peak, I think. The Zenith Bruno right now is the one we're seeing in front of us. And yeah, I think this is the type of game that Carrick, you know, United can get over the line, maybe 1-0, 2-0 sort of thing. Bournemouth will fancy themselves scoring at home. But I just think at the moment they look irrepressible, and the fact that they have what, 3 weeks gap, maybe 3 weeks gap between this and their next game.
Yeah, don't play till mid-April,
which is a long gap for these players. So
yeah,
I think United will fancy this one.
I don't know, I wouldn't be as confident of that. I think United's performances kind of regressed after the initial kind of impact under Carrick, and then last week they showed up again against Villa. At times in the game, there was times in the game where they really struggled, especially after going 1-0 up. Tonight against Bournemouth, in like a fixture that United don't generally have sometimes a great record down there on the South Coast. It's a Friday night football as well. It can be a bit of a weird one for fans and players. But like Bournemouth's form, they've had four wins and six draws in that run. So they've steadied the ship under kind of Iraola, especially after the beginning of the season where they had really patchy form. But I don't know, I just still don't really trust this United side at the minute to kind of keep going on this run. So I'd be a little bit worried for Carrick and United players this evening.
Not that it's really motivation. Go on ahead, Lee, sorry.
No. I was just going to say, it's interesting. It seemed when that great start to his managerial career at Manchester United, it seemed to be built on, you know, sitting back and allowing teams to come on. When they have to make the game, they seem to struggle, don't they? When they have to, but you just wonder if Bournemouth have a go at Man United, if they can kind of adopt that same mentality and strategy of just kind of sitting in a bit and then using the quality they've got up front to hit Bournemouth on the break. I don't expect to see eight goals again, but I can see it being an entertaining game. Like you guys said, neither of these teams have got anything to lose here, have they? You know, it's like, you know, they're both in great positions. Big break coming up, spring break for Man United, isn't it, basically? There's an epic boost on it, by the way. It's Man United to score in the first half, even money from odds on. Two of those eight in the reverse fixture came in the first half for United. I expect goals. I think I'd go Bournemouth on the prices, because why would you go against them? They're a really good side with really good attacking players. But high on the goals. Maybe both teams to score and over 2.5, maybe, if you're looking at a bet builder. And I like Cunha as well. I mean, I like any of them. Like you guys said, Bruno's sensational. I was looking at the most assists in the season betting. I think he's 1,000-1 on to win that now, right? Or something daft. So him, Cunha and Bumo, obviously, there are a lot of goals in this Manchester United team. So if you're a Man United fan, you're looking for a way in, maybe a bet builder, then I'd be looking at shots on target and goals and assists for them.
it's not very often that you're going to get United, Liverpool and Chelsea all being odds against. Why aren't Liverpool more heavy favourites against Brighton? I know their form is bad at the moment, but surely there was stuff midweek where there were some green shoots.
It was against Galatasaray. I mean, you know, even Mo Salah looked good against them, didn't he? So, you know, maybe that's the level. Maybe that's Mo Salah's a Turkish top flight, you know, level player. I do think Europe isn't quite as, well, some European teams aren't anywhere near the level. Others obviously clearly are. And the Premier League as a whole was caught out in this last round, wasn't it? It was made to see, I think there was a false confidence about how well the Premier League teams had done, but Brighton have been in good form recently. I think they've been in really good nick. And I think from a trading point of view, I think you can afford to tempt customers and punters in by giving these prices, knowing full well that they won't all land, or probably won't all land. I mean, you wouldn't be that confident in Chelsea at Everton. I'm not looking at Liverpool and thinking, oh yeah, they'll win at Brighton, even though they've got a good record there, even though, you know, Szoboszlai's in great form. And you know, if Salah is back, then obviously that changes things, because him linking up with Ekitike obviously would be fantastic. And there was some great football the other night. But we've seen this from Liverpool, that, you know, they were brilliant against Real Madrid earlier in the season. Then they think they came back into the Premier League and were really good against Aston Villa when they were playing well. And then it all just bottomed out again, didn't it? There's one bet in this game that I do like. I mean, Brighton, surprisingly, are right at the top of the yellow cards this season. They're as bad as Tottenham are in terms of yellow cards. And Diego Gomez has been booked twice against Liverpool this season already. He's picked up two bookings in his last two games. And like I say, they're liable to pick up cards. He's over 2-1, 23-10 to be carded. So if you're looking for a bet builder, I'd be chucking that one in there. Diego Gomez to pick up a yellow in there. But yeah, I can't trust. I'm not looking at the 6-5 about Liverpool and rubbing my hands together.
Similarly, are Everton actually a good price at home to beat this Chelsea side, who may be careering off track at the moment before our very eyes?
Well, the 23-10, I mean, I was a bit worried about the fact that I heard an interview with Moyes the other day, and they were asking him about the home stadium, and he was kind of saying, like, we do need time to make it our own. I guess when you move into a new stadium, you need those moments that create memories, don't you? And they haven't really had any of those particularly yet. You know, you need a huge win over Liverpool to like make it feel like it's that there is something that you can latch onto as a fan. I just think it's maybe not quite there. The home form has been poor. Chelsea have won 6 of the last 10 away, lost to PSG, lost to Arsenal, and they drew at Wrexham, of course, in the FA Cup with a bit of a changed team. So Chelsea have been decent away from home. Again, no, 11. I'm not mad keen on any of these three prices, if I'm being honest. So, yeah, maybe again, it's like I've looked at a lot of bet builders this week, just like leaving the outrights alone, trying to look at where I can find a bit of value in the players. Illiman and Jai, by the way, to have over one shot on target is just under 4-1. He's like one of the, you know, obviously one of the stars of the Everton team, especially with Grealish not in the starting lineup with his injury. So yeah, probably looking at a fairly tight game, but you know, with the players like Ndiaye getting shots on target. Yeah, look, what'll happen is, you know, Man United, Liverpool and Chelsea will all win easily, won't they? And I've been made to look an idiot.
Well, I don't know. It is that Chelsea being slightly better away from home maybe makes a bit of sense with what's happening and the pressure that they feel from the fans and the uncertainty around, is this actually the future? Is this manager as good as we've been led to believe by the hierarchy? Or, you know,
Just wonder, does Lee have the odds for Chelsea to form another huddle around the referee and respect the ball? If we see it again, Jesus.
I know, that was crazy, wasn't it? I was looking at it last week thinking it did make a nice change for the ref to be in a huddle rather than a VAR muddle.
Yeah. Please not again.
We haven't talked about the Carabao Cup final. What do you think is going to happen here?
For Manchester City, and
yeah,
are they going to go and put a statement performance and then go in and change their form around to go on a run towards the end of the season? I don't know. Like, this
City, it's irrelevant, isn't it, to the league?
In this game itself, right? So,
yeah. But psychologically, though, I think it can have some sort of impact. Like, I think Arsenal, like, the last team they probably wanted to face this weekend, of all weekends, was definitely Man City. Now, they were boosted last week by kind of having that, they have the nine points gap, but still, I don't think they want to see the City team at all. And the only thing is, though, like, City, look, like, this is the end of the Guardiola era, maybe, and maybe this is the end of the Guardiola... Yeah, this is the end of a team and maybe the formation of a new team with Gehi and Semenyo, and obviously Haaland is going to be there. So I don't know, like, we've had question marks over City all year, and I can't see them showing up on Sunday either, because yeah, I think Arsenal are just going to have too much for them, either in set pieces or either from open play as well. I think they'll just suffocate them, and I don't think there'll be any Guardiola master plan, unfortunately.
No, he's more likely to overthink it.
Yeah, I almost feel like Arsenal will be bouncing into this one after what happened in the league last weekend with City dropping points against West Ham. Like, Arteta's very much a vibes manager. Obviously, the team are flying at the moment and want to continue that. But I don't know, I almost feel like, I don't know, Lee, if you had the odds of extra time or this game going 120 minutes or all the way. But it has that sort of feel that in the final, particularly with the trophy on the line, these two teams will want to... not shadow box, but not lose the game rather than go and win the game. I see this being a tight one, and maybe that takes us all the way to penalties, potentially.
Yeah, and you do see, like, I was looking at past finals. I think on the last 10, there's only been four that have featured over 2.5, got three or more goals in them. City beat Villa 2-1. They beat Arsenal 3-0, of course, back in 2018. I think Man United beat Southampton 3-2, and last season was a 2-1 win for Newcastle. So it's traditionally is quite a low scoring final. But yeah, you can have the odds on the match to go to penalties, for instance. Is 4-1 there. Then you can have Arsenal or Man City to win on penalties or in extra time. So all the odds there available. All the main markets, just as a reminder, are based on 90-minute betting. So then you've got a winner of the title. To lift the trophy, Arsenal are 8-11. The 13-10 to win in 90 minutes, but 8-11 to win to lift the trophy, effectively. Man City, even money. It's fascinating. It's interesting you say it doesn't have a bearing on the Premier League. Do you remember when Klopp's last season, when Liverpool were in this exact position, I think, where they were going for the quadruple, people talking about it. And they were playing great and they won the League Cup, and then it all just seemed to kind of fall away a little bit after that. And I remember looking back a few years ago at what teams did once they won the League Cup, because it's such a weird time of the season to be celebrating. And there has been generally a drop-off from various teams. So if Arsenal do win it, be interesting to see how he gets them to go again after winning that first trophy, because you'd presume there'd be big celebrations and it'd be a massive relief to get that first trophy for a while. City, of course, have won this eight times. I think only Liverpool have won it more. So it is their trophy in a sense. So I'm really looking forward to it. I hope it's an open one. I'm not really expecting it to be that open. I think Eberechi Eze can have a big influence. Obviously, he scored against City in the FA Cup final last season. He's been in really good form, hasn't he, recently? I think he's been involved in six goals in his last nine, four of them scoring two assists. I think, you know, he'd be the one I'd be looking at. If you're looking at goal scorers, maybe he can, you know, make the difference in this one. But yeah, it's going to be fascinating. 13-10 Arsenal. Not often you'll get them odds against like that to win in 90 minutes, I guess.
Yeah, I think that's a standout for me. I think it's a straightforward Arsenal win, but maybe I'm missing something. Anything else from you, Lee, before we let you go?
Our final one standing continues, of course. We've got a new game kicking off on 3 p.m. Saturday. We've got one game from game week 20. So two players left. Each could obviously win the 20k themselves, or they could share it and get 10k each. The teams they've gone for are Fulham. One of them's gone for Fulham to win their match, which I'm not sure. I mean, it's at home to Burnley, by the way, so they should win it, but I'm not massively confident in Fulham. And the other one, this is brave, I've gone for Newcastle in the derby. Ooh. Noon on Sunday. Newcastle to beat Sunderland in that one. So we'll be keeping a close eye on that. I guess, look, if they both fail to win, they both take 10 grand home, so no qualms there. But yeah, we'll be keeping a close eye on that one. Acca Boost available as usual. We've got the Bet Builders on the League Cup final. It's a 50% winnings boost this weekend, so if you manage to get a Bet Builder in on that one, you get to make sure you tick the one to get you 50% extra on your winnings on that. But yeah, really looking forward to it. Should be a cracking week with loads of epic boosts as well.
A hot whiskey is the only cure for man flu, Lee. We all know that.
I'll go and get one now.
Enjoy.
What is it, half 12?
Yeah. Best of luck. Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
Cheers, Nick. Off the Ball Rugby.
Chequers Rock and Roll, and for better or worse, the sport likes its entertainment now, and Michael Chequer does that very well.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.